We've been speaking about Jesus' call for us to mourn over our sin, is having sorrow for our personal sins. But I want to transition the talk just a little bit here. I want to state that the people of God also are called to have a sorrow and called to mourn over the sins of our nation as well. I'm reminded of Nehemiah. Nehemiah heard about what was going on. He heard that his nation was crushed, was broken, was literally in shambles, was a wreck. The first thing that Nehemiah did when he heard of that is he mourned. This is what is called Pulpit Freedom Sunday. What's going on is it's a group, it's a couple thousand pastors around the United States that have decided that we need to speak up and not be silent about some of the core issues that are going on in our nation. Just so happens that one of my past pastors, when we lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we went to Metroplex Chapel, and the pastor there, his name was Jim Garlow, and he's over in San Diego now. But Jim Garlow, you might have seen him on Fox News, and he's heading up this and has for the last several years, Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and very outspoken and calling the nation to God's view on things and to righteousness. And this is the interesting thing, is that from the inception of our great nation, the church, specifically pastors, have used their voices and their pulpits to promote biblical principles, to speak out against evil, and to declare what God says is right for the nation, what God says is right for the land. Pastors were the voice in this country as this country was founded. In fact, there were pastors who signed the Declaration of Independence. Pastors that were preaching from their pulpit. This is what God is calling us to do. This is how He's calling us to live. Now, as a nation, let's go live this way and let's honor God. However, over the past 50 years or so, the government, specifically through the IRS, has been bullying pastors and demanding that we remain silent. It's real, right? We're not allowed to mourn over the sins of our nation. We're not allowed to talk about the sins of our nation. We got to remain silent. We can't call them out by name. And we can't say that the political landscape has to change, because that would just be wrong. That's what our government is telling us, telling believers, telling pastors and believers to remain silent. Did you know there's 29 different 501c designations? 501c1, 2, 3, all the way through 29. There are 29 of them. Churches fall under the 501c3 designation. I want you to imagine, how many of those 29 designations do you think have a restriction on this kind of speech? One of them, 501c3, churches, is the only nonprofit designation that has restrictions about speech. President Johnson, you can thank him for that, by the way. The Johnson Amendment caused that to happen, as he had somebody that was, you know, his political enemy that was using a 501c3 organization at the time, and they were speaking out against him and some of his things that he wanted to do. And so Johnson said, I'm going to slide this amendment into a totally different kind of bill, and I'm going to quiet 501c3 organizations, that kind of talk. Well, he didn't even imagine what it was going to do to churches and to pastors. That was not his goal. But that's been the result in our growing secular world that has an antichrist spirit about it. They're using this to bully and to silence Christians from speaking the truth to their neighbors and to their nation. And really what it's doing, it's preventing us from even being able to have a discussion about mourning over our sins as a nation, because we can't even talk about it. I'm going to stand before the Lord someday. We all will. You will. And we're going to give an account for everything we've done, everything we've said, and everything we haven't done, and everything we haven't said. We're going to give an account how we use the gifts He's given us. Did we go use them in faith to glorify Him? Or did we hide them under a bushel? Did we hide them under our mattress? Were we fearful to use those gifts in our voice and the freedom we have of our vote and so many other things are gifts God's given us. Are we afraid to use those things because, something bad might happen? I say, I have a greater fear of the Lord than that, and I have a greater love for my nation than just to remain silent and just to go along with what the world is telling me to do or not to do. And I want to encourage us that every one of us are called to speak out. Every one of us are called to be salt and light, not just pastors. Every single one of you is called to be the salt and light. Every one of you is called to speak the truth of God's word into the world that you live in. Every one of us is called to not be silent. We're called to speak God's truth. We're called to be His hands and feet. And listen to this. We're called to be His prophetic voice in our generation. You are. Calling a nation to righteousness and to the fear of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be about. Not just to offend people for that purpose, but no, to speak truth, and everybody needs to hear it, because if they don't hear it, if they don't look at the goodness and righteousness of God, how will they ever mourn? And how will a nation ever mourn? Going back to Nehemiah's example, what does it look like to mourn? I'm going to very quickly go through a few things because I want to make sure we understand what we need to be doing as believers and what I'm committed to do as a follower of Christ, as a person of God. What did Nehemiah do? First thing he did was he prayed. How did he respond to mourn? How did he mourn? He prayed. The second thing he did was he spoke out. And the third thing that he did was he took action. I'm just going to go through these very quickly. Pray. His first response was to go to God in prayer. We got to do that too. Wednesday, October 19th is the Wednesday prayer meeting before the elections on Tuesday, November 4th. In that prayer meeting, we are going to focus on praying for our nation. We're going to cry out for righteousness. We're going to cry out for God's hand of mercy to fall upon this nation. We're going to cry out that evil would be extinguished and the light of Christ Jesus would be lifted up and shine throughout this nation. I invite you to participate in this process of mourning and this process of engaging in this area. We're also going to do it in the men's meeting on the day of elections, Tuesday the 4th. Men, if you're available, come. Let's be men of God. Let's be about God's business. I want to encourage you even to look at your calendar, reorganize that day. How important is it? Can you come at 6:30 in the morning for 1 hour? I'm not asking you to do it every week. I know we have responsibilities. But can you look at this one day and us, the men of God, in this region, in this place, in this generation, let's cry out. Let's mourn and let's pray and intercede. God's word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, that's us, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, in other words, acknowledge our need for God, and then pray and seek my face. Pray, do something about it, and seek my face, and then turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We want our land healed. Stop complaining about it and putting Facebook posts out there and only doing that. Let's start praying. You can put the Facebook posts and let people know what's really going on because the world needs to know what's going on. But let's also pray. And pray for, like intentionally pray for our nation. We're going to have more and more of these kind of prayer meetings because we have to. We're called to do it. The second thing is we speak out. Nehemiah prayed, then he rallied the nation, the people of God together, and he cried out and he said, let's take action. And let's live God's way. When the apostles were told to remain silent, they're starting to preach the word of God right after Pentecost, and they were told they got to be quiet. They're not allowed to speak out. They said, You know who told them to not speak out? A quasi-governmental agency, the Sanhedrin, that was both a religious institution but also had governmental control over the people of God, over the Israelites, so they could tell them what to do and not to do. And the Sanhedrin said, you got to remain silent. You're not allowed to speak the name of Jesus in public. Be quiet. Well, the apostles weren't quiet, and they were speaking the name of Jesus, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin. And it says, we strictly charged you, crazy Christians. We told you to be quiet. We told you to remain silent. Yet you filled, check this out, you filled Jerusalem. You filled your city. You filled your city. God, help the church do this today. Let's help us to fill our city with the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just our sanctuaries and auditoriums on Sunday morning, but let's fill our city with the teaching of Jesus, of the gospel. But Peter and the apostles, they said, you got to stop that. Peter and the apostles, they said, we must obey God rather than man. You're telling us not to do that, but we can't obey you because God has said that we are to speak out. So we too got to speak out right here, right now, not remain silent. When you hear people talking, this is hard, but when you hear people at work and they're talking about sin as though it's okay and how we need to just accept people's sinful behavior and how we actually need to promote it and teach it in school that it's okay, we have a choice. We can just remain silent and in our silence come into agreement with it and allow that to be the only voice in our nation. Or we can in love and very humbly, and believe me, we need to be led by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and let God speak through us and let God be God and let His truth be His truth and do its work. And like the great apostles, we may get called in front of the Sanhedrin. We may get called in front of some board or some person at our work even. You can't talk about those things. Why not? They're talking about it. They were talking about the same thing. I just joined their conversation. What do you mean I can't talk about that? Anyway, we need to speak out, not to be ashamed of the gospel any longer. If you read your word, if you're ashamed of the gospel, if you're ashamed of Jesus, I'm going to let you do your homework on that. What's the result? Do your homework. Number three, we got to take action. Nehemiah took action. He began to rebuild. We're in a season of elections right now. We have general elections on November 4th. We have an opportunity to exercise the freedom that we have to take action and to begin to rebuild our nation. And we have a responsibility as God's people to do that. Don't believe that word that we don't have a place in the political arena. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That we don't have a voice, that we're not to speak out about what's right and wrong. That is a lie. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? We need to take action. I want to tell you, here's how we can take action right here, right now. We must support pro-life, pro-traditional marriage, pro-God candidates. I'm talking about even campaigning for them. I'm talking about putting signs up in your yard. I'm going to have some signs up in my yard. In my personal property, I have the freedom to promote candidates, specific people who align with godly principles. And in doing that, I'm saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with those other guys or girls. We can campaign for them. We can promote them. Those who are willing to stand up and promote righteousness, we need to promote them. Promote God-fearing candidates. We need to tell our friends. In the primary election, I was telling people, if you live in Chandler, you need to vote for Kevin Hartke. He's a Christian. He's a pastor. He's a believer. He loves God and he loves his community. And I had so many people, I didn't even know who to vote for. Thank you for telling me that. People of God, we can remain silent and just whatever happens, whatever the enemy wants to have happen to us will happen. Or we can start to speak up and promote righteousness and those that will stand for righteousness. If we don't, we're going to get what we get. And don't complain and don't put things on Facebook. If you're not willing to vote, you better not put a single thing on Facebook or ever complain about the condition of our government ever, because you're a hypocrite if you do. I want to say some other things, but I'm going to be quiet. Because I've been comforted this week, and I've already mourned over my sin. I don't want to do any more. Second thing is, we can vote. God has given you the freedom and the responsibility to vote. You know that if believers voted biblically And every believer voted that we would not be in the condition we're in right now in our nation. We wouldn't be. We will be held accountable. And I've said this before, and I'm going to be very clear about this again, because I am cut to the core on this. I mean, the Lord has so clearly spoken this to me. And I want to be very, well, you'll hear it. It's very clear. If you vote for a candidate that is pro-abortion, you have blood on your hands. You will be held accountable for the blood of those babies that you have helped be spilled, because you helped get somebody elected into a position where they are going to further that, knowing that they're going to further that heinous crime of murdering innocent preborn babies. That's pretty clear. I believe that from the deepest depths of my heart. That's the only reason I would speak that out in front of my church family right now from the pulpit. And I want to share that with you because I love you. And I don't want you to believe any lie that there's some other kind of social issues out there that even hold a candle to that. There aren't. If you vote for a candidate because of economics, and you're willing to vote for a candidate because of economics, because you're going to get something out of it economically, but they're pro-death, you have blood on your hands. And I would really go before the Lord and check your heart quickly. Anyway, this is no joke, I guess is what I'm saying. We've got to be a people who mourn over our sin, who look at God and realize that He is holy. And we have got to respond to His holiness by mourning and being sorrowful for our own sin and the sin of this nation. And that's not just complaining to one another about it. That's speaking up and taking action and praying and speaking out. I mean, we've got to be the church, the people of God, like the apostles were. You know what happened when they said they're not going to do it? They went back out and they preached it, and all these people were coming and hearing about Jesus and coming to the Lord, and the Sanhedrin brought them back in. They even beat them, and they chastised them, and they said, "We told you not to do that." And the apostles said to the Sanhedrin again, to the governmental agency, they said, "I'm sorry, but we have to. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice." And you know what? In the whole process, God shows up, gives them grace, breaks chains, gives them freedom, and the church grows, and righteousness starts to fill the earth. Because the people of God said yes to God. Yes, we'll render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, but we're going to give God what is due His name. We're going to glorify Him, and we're going to speak the truth because He is worthy of that, and He deserves that. And we're going to mourn, and we're going to call our nation to mourning and to sorrow and to repentance, because if we don't, then to hell in a handbasket we will go, as they say. I'm not going to sit back and just be quiet. Now, very quickly as I close, Jake, would you come up? As I close, I want to get even more specific. You can go out to the Center for Arizona Policy website, and you can look at what candidates, what their voting records have been, and what they believe, how they've answered questions like questions about abortion, questions about a marriage between one man and one woman, questions about Christian liberty. You can look and you can know. We do not have an excuse to not know. The Center for Arizona Policy, Kathy Herod, thank God for them, has helped us to understand what our candidates believe and what they're going to do when they get elected. There are candidates. There's a candidate running for governor right now who's pro-life. There's a candidate who's pro-abortion. You know who to vote for. There's a candidate that's running for our 5th District Congressional office that is pro-life, and there's one who's pro-death. Even just on that one issue, it gets very, very simple. It takes away all the complication. I'm just going to do things God's way. I'm going to be His people, and I'm going to promote righteousness in my land. I want to conclude with a quote from Charles Finney. Would you please stand up? Charles Finney in 1868 said, "The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray, unless the church will take right ground. It seems sometimes as if the foundations of the nation are becoming rotten, and Christians seem to act as if they think God does not see what they do in politics. But I tell you, he does see it, and he will bless or curse this nation according to the course that Christians take. Will we be a church? Will we be the people of God who will truly mourn over our own sins, but also over the sins of our nation? And not some superficial Christianese kind of mourning, but I mean real mourning that results in prayer and speaking out in action. Let's be that church. Let's be the real, alive church that's willing to speak the name of Jesus and the righteousness of Christ Jesus in our land, even if we get drug in front of the board at church or the town council or the school board or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. He is worthy. He is worthy. We've run out of time, but what I'd like to do as we close is I'd like for us to sing a song together. And I'm believing what this is going to accomplish, not just to kind of have a fun way to end the gathering, but I want us to sing this song and to sing these words and for it to be something that begins to launch us into responding to Jesus' call to mourn. When we mourn God's way, we will be comforted God's way. When we mourn corporately for this nation God's way, this nation will be comforted the way God comforts this nation. We need it individually and as a nation. So let's sing this and let's begin to let this be a launching pad into this next season, and specifically into this political season that we're in, where we have a chance to take some really serious action in this process of mourning for our nation. Let's sing.
Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls.